Intervju Radija Študent.
Ok, lepo pozdravljeni v nocojšnjem intervju Radija Študent. To ni otroški program Radio Študent, če tudi je mogoče slišati tako?
Ni.
Okay. Nocoj se pogovarjamo s Felixom Kubinom, ki bo zvečer nastopil v kinu Šiška. So, Mr. Kubin,
yes.
Do you hear you?
Yes, I hear.
Yeah, hello. Let's start maybe with this year's activities. There were actually two albums from your side.
Yeah.
One of them was your long-awaited solo album. Which came out on Zigzag label, so maybe you should tell us a little bit about that and also how you came to collaborate with this legendary label.
Ah, it was very easy. I know the guy since my childhood, actually, or since I'm a teenager. And he always promised me to release a record when I was when I had my teenage band. And he never did it, so now I forced him to do it, just by threatening him that if he wouldn't do it, I would never talk to him again. And he immediately said yes, he would be very honored.
Okay, so I guess this is like 30 years too late, because I guess your collaboration goes back to 1984. Or
yeah,
something like
earlier,
that?
Is
that
you?
Okay.
1983. Yeah, yeah. So we are a bit late, but then you know, it's like it could become really mature. Now I'm even a better musician than 30 years ago.
Okay. Why do you think that?
Oh, because you know, all my nerves have become finer, and I have my senses became more developed, and I've had. I went through life and had lots of desperate moments, and so the music, the art gets better from that.
Okay. So I guess this Zigzag collaboration was before with the Egozentrischen Zwei band. Okay. Is there any possibility of a revival of this project?
Well, I have
that was a serious question.
I have an idea.
Okay.
I always had the idea that maybe one day I will get two boys of the same age that I made the music back then, and then they have to perform the pieces like you know, rented musicians from notes, maybe even. But I don't know when I can realize that, but it's an idea, yes.
Okay, so it would be like a next Germany has a top model, but in a musical way.
Yeah, exactly. That must be two top models, and then they have to be my completely perverted music of that time, you know?
Okay, and they should be 14 years old, 13 years old?
Yeah, but for top models of 14 and 15, yes.
Okay, agreed. Okay, if we stay a little bit in this musical era, it was at that time like the Neue Deutsche Welle was much alive. Would you somehow say maybe that this time of it was somehow pop, but it was also really good? Would you say that maybe Neue Deutsche Welle is as good as it can get for pop music?
Or well, it might mean the term Neue Deutsche Welle means nothing else than German New Wave. It has only been picked up immediately by the industry, and the industry has actually destroyed all the creative energy that was there by copying some of the artists, and then of course making really bad copies of them, and then promoting them with all their money that they had. So the surface of Neue Deutsche Welle was very commercial and not interesting, but the underground was amazing at that time. I think it was one of the most creative times in the history of German pop music of the last century.
But probably this was also the era when the alternative music had much more access to mainstream media.
Yeah, it's true that at that time, even the industry was picking up some of the original underground bands like Palais Schaumburg, for example, and offered them the possibility to release an album under good studio conditions. Mm-hmm. And if you listen today to this album, that's, for example, this band Palais Schaumburg with Holger Hiller as a frontman produced, it's so incredibly experimental pop music. It's so it's so far out and even hard to describe what the kind of style it is nowadays, that it's nearly impossible to believe that the industry has produced this album at that time. Mm-hmm. This has totally changed. I mean, I run a label on my own, Gagari Records, and actually my new record, Zemster Plutona, mm-hmm. Is a collaboration of my label and Alfred's label, because Alfred doesn't have any money anymore.
Okay. Is this funny? Okay.
You know, it's like it turned. The proportions have changed.
Uh-huh.
Like I'm taking care of the old man now.
Uh-huh. Okay. So let's say Gagarin is also not really a new label anymore. Why did you make a decision at that time to actually found your own label?
Because I wanted to be independent.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very bad at asking people to release my music or to, you know, because I don't like to beg anywhere. And so I started to, I thought, okay, I had some bad experiences before, so I thought I just release the music myself whenever I want. And if a label offers me to put something out and the label is good and the catalog of the label is convincing for me, then I can say yes.
Mm-hmm. But recently you also established a new label. It's called Apocalypso.
Apocalypso.
Okay, Apocalypso, why?
Apocalypso, yeah. That
sorry.
Is
okay.
Apocalypso with a polka beat.
Uh-huh. Okay. So why not putting these issues out on Gagarin, why new label?
Apocalypso is only a 7-inch label.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to have a label where I could, like a side label, where I could release ideas faster and without thinking much about how I, you know, like not developing a long album and putting much energy into that, but to be able to shoot in between, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Okay. Do you have some simple principle or something by which you choose the artists from
yeah.
which you release the records?
Well, recently it's like that. I really want to first develop a kind of social relation with them a little bit, because I only want to put artists now that I think are really burning for making music or art or sound, whatever it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't categorize it too much, but I really want people who are not doing this as a hobby.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go back to the old days somehow, also this hobby aspect. Let's say terms like do-it-yourself or punk or something. What does it mean to you today? Because when you were 14, maybe the days and scene were different than today.
First, I have to say, if I wouldn't have been able to make music at that time, I would probably have ended up in a really bad situation. It really saved my life. Second, the whole DIY thing is, of course, still happening today.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, it was the first time that labels started to be founded by independent groups. You know, like by musicians themselves or by people who were not linked to the big industry.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a big euphoria because suddenly we felt like, okay, everyone can put out good music without having to crawl in front of the some idiotic A&R manager from a big label.
Mm-hmm.
And a big culture, a blossoming culture of self-made music, of sometimes really funny or inventive or sometimes heavily disturbed people started everywhere. As you
mm-hmm.
said, it was a kind of hobby killer thing happening for many, because they were just doing it while they were doing a completely normal job. They were doing this really strange music in their cellars.
Mm-hmm.
And I have collected a whole bunch of recordings from that time now, and put it together for a compilation that will be released on Finders Keepers in a few months.
Okay, that's a label by Andy Votel?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So you're curating that compilation?
Yeah.
Okay. So you went through many, or are still active in many musical fields, and we were talking about Heavily Disturbed people. Were you ever thinking about making music for children?
You mean not Heavily Disturbed children? No. music for children, I don't know. I mean, I recently played a concert in Paris, actually, in a museum.
Mm-hmm.
For children. They were between 3 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the organizers if I should do what they expect from me, if they know my music, and they said, yeah, it's okay, just don't play the very loud and extremely distorted stuff, but you can more or less do your concert.
Okay.
It was very funny. I had, in one track I had to stop playing because I was laughing so much, because I had a fat little baby 2 meters from my microphone and lying on the ground looking at me like a drunk old man with a pacifier in his mouth. It was very funny.
Okay. So if you somehow go further with this, are you a conceptual artist? Do you see yourself as a conceptual artist, or would you say you're a musician?
More as an artist who makes music.
Okay.
I think, and in that term, you could say I'm also not. I do a lot of other things as well. Like I do lecture performances. I do radio plays.
Uh-huh.
Actually, the half of my work and my creative work is writing and producing and recording radio
uh-huh.
plays.
Okay.
It's called Hörspiel in Germany,
yeah.
And it has a very long tradition, and you can work, it has very many possibilities for developing all kinds of expressions. It can be from sound collage to a narrative story. So it's very open.
Uh-huh. Okay, maybe for a Slovene audience, we should explain that Hörspiele, or radio plays in Germany, are still a very strong art form. They're still produced on a regular basis, but okay, Germany has like 80 million inhabitants, so it's much different to have, but it's somehow also isolated for German audience, because it's all linked to the language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they are opening up a little bit, so
uh-huh.
we had, for example, I recommended one guy from my label, Ergo Fismis, and he's very keen to producing radio plays as well, so I told him he should contact this and that redacteur from national stations, and actually he managed to produce 2 radio plays for them, and one even got a prize. So
mm-hmm.
and that was completely in English language.
Ah, okay.
So it seems that they are a bit more open, but in general they want Germans to relate to the German language, and I think it's really okay. Maybe it would be. It's only a pity that this high quality that is produced in Germany cannot be heard so much by people around the world, because it's really something amazing that we have in our culture, and many people don't even understand what radio play means, or what it can be. That it's much more than just 2 people reading a text and a bit the noise of the sea in the background. It has very many genres, and it's very complex. You can compare it maybe to a really strong underground film culture, or
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Okay, would you then describe it, if you say it's not only 2 people having conversation, is it somehow Gesamtkunstwerk? Although it's only sonic, but anyway.
Well, it has established its own aesthetics, and that happened in the 50s and 60s in Germany. It's some people say it's cinema for the ears, but I think that's too narrowing. There's also some because it would refer it too much only to cinema, and it's not true. It's something in between, maybe cinema, theater, oral history, and using the imagination of the listener a lot, because you don't get any images, and you have to somehow relate with this sense that you don't use in this regard to some imagination. It's like reading a book. You also have a strong imagination there. So it's more triggering the imagination of the listener, who is becoming an artist himself, because he or she has to complement what they get from the radio play. And it's they become more an artist than, for example, when watching a film, where everything is already set in front of you, apart from the smell and the taste.
Okay, let's talk about your last album, which is a collaboration that came out, if I'm not wrong, on 1st of December. How did you hook up with this band from Poland?
Yeah, I'm actually at the moment even working on a third album, which is again something completely different. But this album with Mitch and Mitch came to existence because I knew Mateo Moretti and Bartek Kaczynski since many years, and we've been collaborating on little things from time to time. And at some point, I was invited to as a guest musician for a show that they played as Mitch and Mitch in Cologne, and Mitch are pretty famous in Poland.
Okay.
So they had the idea to produce an album together with me, and we actually recorded and composed everything within, I think, 7 days. So in 7 days we were in a studio in Warsaw, and the studio was in a blind people's house.
Okay.
So it was really interesting every day to walk into the studio, because you would meet all these people with their sticks, and you would hear the sound of this clattering sound, you know.
Okay. Why didn't you include them sonically into album?
I did. The most of the sounds we created ourselves. But I had the recording of a guy who was sewing something in the entry.
Ah, okay.
I recorded him.
Okay.
Otherwise, it looks a bit strange when you run around a blind person, because they recognize you, and they might ask you what you're doing there, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, so we recorded this album in kind of panic, and I didn't have this experience before. That on Zemsta Plutona I worked, if you want, like it took like 9 years with long interruptions and many other side projects. And then the next album was recorded within 7 days and mixed in, I think, 14 or 16 days, something like that.
Okay. So would you say it's, paradoxically, maybe easier to work with other people than to do everything by yourself? Do you complicate things too much if you work by yourself?
Probably.
Okay.
I guess, yeah, because, I mean, of course, when I produce something for the radio, I have to meet the deadline, definitely, because they already 1 year before they put the date of the broadcast into the program, and you really cannot say, hey, I need some weeks more. You have to have it ready. So I'm used to work with deadlines, and I hate them a lot. But anyway, this time it was we were in a mix of euphoria, panic, and how do you call it when you're on drugs, like in a Rausch?
Being
Rausch?
High, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we were high on noise and tunes and whatever. high on energy.
Okay.
High on intervals.
High spirits.
Yeah,
high spirits.
The intervals.
Okay.
The intervals
okay.
are very interesting. And I think we produced something that, at least in this combination, is not so, has not so much been made before.
Okay. You performed in Slovenia already some years ago, but tonight is not a solo performance. Do you have any expectations about it, as you were already performing before with them?
We've performed, let me think, one, two, three, four concerts so far, and they all went really great. And people were mostly really surprised about what kind of music it is and what kind of energy it has. Some tracks are pretty experimental, or let's say more atmospheric, like film music, and some tracks have nearly a punk energy. I don't say it's punk music, but it has the a wild energy, and I think people didn't expect this mix. So far we are really happy. Only the distances that we have on our tour are completely crazy.
Okay, Mr. Kubin,
yeah.
We have any other questions for you? Any other questions from what do you expect from the public?
Mr. Kubin, hello, I'm Mattia. I'm a moderator here, and you talked with Pina. You know?
This is the great...
the great mysterious part. But let me just ask you for a funny part, maybe. Did you listen to an album of Italian-English group, guess what, Yuri Gagarin?
No, but someone mentioned it already to me.
Okay, check it out. I wanted just to ask you this, and I wish you a good concert tonight and a lot of good energy.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, looking forward for hearing you tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Edo, tole je bil pogovor s Felixom Kubinom, z Mičem in Mičem se pač nismo uspeli pogovarjati, ker nismo native Polish speakeri, najbrž pa tudi oni obvladajo angleščino ravno dovolj, da bi pa se lahko kaj zmenili, pa se vendarle nismo. Pojte, če se vam je zazdelo tale nekakšno vabilo primerno, ukolikor že poznate Felixa, veste, da bo to, kar boste dobili, nekaj divjega. Ukolikor ga pa ne poznate, morate pa sploh iti, saj bo še bolj divje. Eto, Pina, hvala za pogovor s Felixom.
Hvala vam.
Ok, lep pozdrav iz intervjuvanskih galaksij Radija Študent.
Intervju Radija Študent.